I'm really excited to be here tonight. That's all I'm going to say, or I'm going to start to cry. Thanks, Jerry, for asking me to teach. So tonight we're going to look at God's faithfulness to us and our faithfulness to God. The word faithfulness comes up in our everyday vernacular, right? It's a word that is used often in our society. But I think it's not very often that people use it in association with God. It's not often that it comes up where we're talking with people and they talk about God's faithfulness, right? Or a believer's faithfulness to God. We've got old faithful, right? What's old faithful? It's a geyser, right? It comes up a lot. So old faithful, right, is the geyser in Yellowstone National Park. And it bears the title of faithful because it erupts every 60 to 70 minutes or so. So it's called faithful. It's reliable. It's a reliable geyser, right? We've got people at work, maybe, that we call faithful, a faithful employee. Has anyone ever heard an employee called faithful? Yes. Jesse, yes. And what do people, what do they usually mean when they say someone's a faithful employee? Yeah. Shows up on time, does their work, what else? Right, comes in every day, right? There's a sense of them being reliable, right? Dependable. Simple-minded. Yeah, okay. and then sometimes we talk about faithfulness when we're talking about a relationship, right? Usually people talk about people being unfaithful, right? Where in a relationship, maybe someone has strayed, that they've gone away, and we would say, oh, she was unfaithful to him, right? It's a very popular movie with Diane Lane, right? So that's another way that that word is used, and that would mean that the person goes away from the other person, right? That they separate themselves and that they're not there and they're no longer dependable, right? But tonight what we're going to look at is the only kind of faithfulness that at the end of the day matters, and that's God's faithfulness. And because it's the only kind of faithfulness that we can depend on. It's the only kind of faithfulness that we can rely on. And I think once we really understand God's faithfulness to us, we can understand that our natural reaction would be to be faithful to God. So first what we're going to do is go to his word, and I want to get an understanding of what the word faithful means. It encompasses a few different things. So that's number one. Number two is we're going to look at God's faithfulness to us, his children. And then number three, we're going to look at our faithfulness to God. Okay? So to get a better understanding, let's go to Genesis chapter 15. The Old Testament was written in what?
Hebrew.
Hebrew, right? And it was translated into English. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at two words tonight that were translated faithful in the Bible. One of them is a Hebrew word and one of them is a Greek word. Right now we're going to look at the Hebrew word. And the Hebrew word is amen. Like a Southern person saying amen. Amen. That's how I was trying to remember it, okay? A-M-A-N. I know that because I hit the little play button on Blue Letter Bible. Right? Okay. Amen. Okay? So it's A-M-A-N. And it's a Hebrew word that is frequently translated faithful in the Old Testament. We're going to look later at a place where God calls himself faithful, and this is the word that he uses. The first time that it's used, though, is Genesis chapter 15. And you guys know whenever we look at a word in the way in which it's translated, it's always really important to look at the first time it was used. And in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram," you guys know this is Abraham, right? Just hasn't had the name changed. "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he," Abraham, "believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. It's the word believed here, right? Chris did a really great job at painting this picture last night of what it must have been like for Abraham and Sarah to get this news. And here, this word believed is this Hebrew word, aman, and it means faithful. He believed in the Lord. He heard what God said, the promise that God made, and he trusted in God. God said he was going to do something. He took that information and he believed. He trusted God that it was going to come to pass. And that's what that word faithful encompasses. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 1. You there, Daniel? Do you want to read verse 9 for me? Yeah, 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 9.
Chapter 1, verse 9, 2 Chronicles. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over people like the dust of the earth in multitude.
Okay, so here, thank you. Here, Solomon is talking to God, and he says, let thy promise unto David my father be established. Keep your finger here and turn to 2 Samuel. We're going to look at what that promise was. So there was a promise made that Solomon is referring to in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And in verse 12 it says, and this is David and God, okay? And God's talking to David and says, and when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, right when he's dead, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. So this was the promise that God had made to David. And he said, your son is going to be king, and I am going to stay with him. And when we go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 9, you kept your finger there, right? It says, now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established. And established is that Hebrew word aman, which means faithful. Let it be established, okay? God's promise had been made. He made it to David. Solomon was there. And now it was established. It was fixed. It was firm. That's what that word faithfulness encompasses. In Psalm 19, Psalm 19, verse 7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. What word do you think it is there?
Sure.
The word of the Lord is sure. That's the word that is translated later on as faithful. It's used to describe the sureness of God's word, the reliability of God's word. And in Ruth chapter 4. I know we're flipping fast. Flipping, flip, flip. In Ruth chapter 4, and in verse 16 it says, and Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And here it's the word nurse. She was taking the child, she was bringing it unto her, and she was going to be nurse unto it. She was going to support that child, feed that child, strengthen that child, and uphold that child. That is the same word that's later translated faithful when God says, I am faithful. Okay? So this word, amen, is translated several ways in the Old Testament. We looked at a few. It's translated believe, steadfast, sure, established, verified, trust, continuance, nurse, and faithful, just to get an idea. Okay? And the word means to support, confirm, be faithful, uphold, be established, make firm pillars or supporters of a door. So that's the Old Testament word, okay? So now we're going to go into the New Testament, and we're going to look at the Greek word for faithful that's going to come up in a lot of the verses tonight. And that word is pistos, and it's spelled P-I-S-T-O-S. So what does that sound like? Pistis, right? And it's from Pistis, Luke chapter 16. And you can see why in just a minute. And pistis is what?
Believing.
Believing. Okay, so several of the verses in the New Testament that we'll look at deal with this word, pistos. And it's used in Luke chapter 16 in verse 10. And it says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" And here it's the word faithful, right? But look at that illustration in verse 12. I think it really gives a sense of what it means. If ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, if you'd borrowed somebody's something, PlayStation, okay? If you haven't been faithful in taking care of it, why should you even have your own PlayStation, right? If you weren't trustworthy enough to take care of somebody else's stuff, why should you have your own? And that's what that word faithful means. It's trustworthy. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I turned to first. Who's in 2 Corinthians? Erica, can you stand and read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18?
Sure. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 18. "But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay."
Okay, yeah, as God is true, as God is faithful, our word toward you was not yes and no. As God is true, God is faithful. God is sure. God is something that can be counted on. And then in Titus chapter 1. In Titus chapter 1 in verse 7. It says, "For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers." And here it's the word faithful, and God is describing his word as being faithful. The word pistos means trusty, faithful, worthy of trust, something that can be relied on, easily persuaded, believing, confiding, and trusting. And God describes himself as faithful, and he describes his word as faithful, because God's word is as much as God as God is God. It's one and the same. So if God is faithful, then God's entire word is also faithful. Okay? So now that we kind of understand both of those words a little bit and sort of what they both encompass, we're going to take a look at God's faithfulness to us as his kids. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. So when we talk about God being faithful to us, it just simply means that we can rely on him, that we can depend on him, and that's it. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verse 1, it says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey." Okay, and this is Moses speaking on behalf of God to the children of Israel. And we're going to jump to chapter 7, okay? I just wanted to give you a sense of where they're at. They had just gotten out of bondage in Egypt, okay? And they were going to start, they were starting their journey to the promised land, that land that was flowing with milk and honey. And so in chapter 7, we're going to pick it up in verse 6. And remember, you know, that Moses is speaking this to the children of Israel, right? Think about what God says to them here. And then remember that we're God's kids. They didn't even have the Holy Spirit and the connection that we have with God. And look at what God says to them, okay? Verse 6, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." So this is the first time where this word aman is used to talk about God in terms of God being faithful, okay? And, you know, think about what is said in verse 8 before he says he is the faithful God. He talks about an oath, right? A promise that was made. And it wasn't even made unto your fathers, right? A promise that had been made unto their fathers. And then in verse 9, after he says he is the faithful God, he goes on to say, which keepeth covenant. God keeps his promises. And that's why when God says that I am faithful, that's why. Because he does what he says he's going to do. And that's it. And that's why God is a faithful God. And that's why God is somebody that we can rely upon, because he's somebody that comes through and does exactly what he says he's going to do. And the Bible is chock full of examples of this, right? And this is just one of them with the children of Israel. Hebrews chapter 11. You know, as Chris mentioned last night, you know, these weren't like, what did he say? Like people that had an aura around them or something, right? Like untouchables, right? God keeps his promises to them, but he's going to keep his promises to us too. These weren't, you know, people with glowy stuff on them. Hebrews chapter 11. In verse 11, and we looked at this last night too. "Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him what? Faithful. Who had what?
Promise.
Right, that's why she thought God was faithful, because he came through on what he had promised. She could count on God because God came through on what he promised. And like I said, Chris painted such a great picture last night about, you know, trying to put yourself in Sarah's shoes and what she was thinking and what Abraham was thinking. God came through on his promise and she judged God faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So this is God's faithfulness to us, that he is going to do what he says he's going to do. And where do we find God's promises?
In his word.
1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 9. It says, "God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." God is faithful. Bless you. Psalm 119. That faithful in Corinthians was pistos. The faithful that we are looking at in Psalms now is not, but it is still relative, okay? In Psalm 119, in verse 90, it says, "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." God made a planet, and it is still here. right? That's what Glenn says. That's Glenn's line. He made a planet, and it is still here. We are still sitting on it. We are still enjoying it, right? God said he was going to make a planet. The planet is still here. End of discussion. 2 Samuel chapter 22. So knowing that God is going to do what he says he's going to do, that he is going to deliver on his promises, our natural reaction should be to just trust God implicitly. If we know that he is somebody that always comes through on what he promises. In 2 Samuel 22, in verse 29, it says, "For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is what? The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect." We know that God is going to deliver on his promises. We know that he is going to do what he says he's going to do. And we also know that God's way has been tested, right? It's been tried. It's been true. As for God, verse 31, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried, right? It's tried and true. It's a best practice. Psalm 118. That's what they say in engineering all the time. It's a best practice. I thought Joey would laugh. I guess not. Oh, you did? Oh, thank you. All right, thank you. All right. Psalm 118. In verse 8, it says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." Right? Yes. It's true. It's better to trust God than to trust in man. And yet I think it can get very easy to come to fellowship for me and hear this verse and sit there and go, absolutely. Right? Because it's very logical. Of course God's way is the best way. I'm sure all of us have our fair share of morons in our lives that we know we would never trust, right? So I'm sure we think of those people. That's what I do. I'm like, oh, yeah, God's way, right? Because you know. So you sit there and, you know, it's like, but then we go out in the world and there are things that we come across in life where we really get challenged in this area. And for all of us, maybe it's something a little bit different. You know, Chris brought up last night looking at a CAT scan, right? And that's what I thought of when I was thinking about this verse. You know, sometimes it's hard if you're dealing with something medical to sit in front of a doctor who is incredibly educated, who has spent a considerable amount of time studying a very specific field that you basically know nothing about. And to sit there and to take the information that he is giving you and not consider it gospel. And not sit there and go, I have to do everything he says I'm going to do. And I have to believe everything he's saying because he's so educated. He knows so much more about this. For me, that's a hard thing. Jerry mentioned I was pregnant with twins. I had a few complications that came up when I was pregnant with my twins. And this really got tested for me. I was shocked. It was very difficult for me. And I'm not proud of the way I handled a couple of situations. But it was very difficult for me to sit there and have all these really educated people giving me this information. And I really had to make a huge effort to bring my mind back to God and his word and know that I was happy to have the information. I was happy to have the options. But I had to remind myself that at the end of the day, God was going to steer the ship for me if I let him. And it didn't matter the information that I was given. It didn't matter how brilliant the doctor was. It didn't matter any of these things. I got the information and I gave it to God. And God and I came up with a plan, and I went with God's plan, right? It took me a little while to get there, though. And we all have our little buttons, you know? Sometimes we do this at work, right? We hear people talking about losing their jobs or getting laid off. And I understand why people say these things, because I've also said them. But we make comments like, well, really tight with my boss, right? I think I'm going to be safe, you know? I'm really good. We're on good terms. Blah, blah, blah. Or we say things like, well, I've worked there 10 years. Very dedicated employee. You know, work overtime. I've worked holidays, right? And that's just like ourselves, trusting in ourselves, our fabulous work ethic, right? And I understand why people say these things, but at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter if you shoot pool with your boss on the weekends or if you have a spotless work ethic, right? God is the one that is your sufficiency. So you don't need to trust in that. You don't need to trust in your networking or LinkedIn, right? It doesn't matter. You know, if you get laid off, it's not like, oh, great, well, I have a lot of networking resources, right? I get why that can seem so appealing. But, you know, at the end of the day, we have to be like, I'm going to be okay because of God, and that's it. That's it. I don't care about how many networking resources. That's it. It's because of God. And that's God's faithfulness to us. That's what we have to remember, that God has given us so many promises, and all he wants us to do is believe them because he'll make it come to pass. That's all he wants us to do. Remember, Chris reminded us last night, without faith, it is what?
Impossible.
Impossible to please God. And his word contains millions of promises that he just wants us to walk out on and claim and believe so that he can bring amazing things to pass in our lives. In Proverbs chapter 3. In verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. God, one of the promises he's made is that he's going to direct our paths, right? And we had read in previous verses that God's way is sure, right? That it's tried and true. So we need to claim that promise and let God be faithful to us and walk in his way. Let him direct our paths, trusting in God that the way that he is going to take us is going to be the absolute best way. It is tried and it is true. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Bless you. So God is faithful to us because he keeps his promises. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, earlier in chapter 10, it's talking about the children of Israel and some things that went on, okay? And then in verse 11, we're going to pick it up here, and it says, now all these things happened unto them for in samples, for an impression, and they were written for our admonition. They were written for our learning, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is what?
Faithful.
And now listen up to this part. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And I want to read Reverend Walter Cummins' translation of this verse from his working translation, because it's just too fabulous not to share. It says, no temptation has taken hold of you except what is common to humans. God, however, is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are capable of enduring. But with the temptation, he will even make the way of escape so that you are capable of enduring it. You know, God tells us many, many times in his word that we are going to come across tribulation. We're going to have problems. We're going to come across temptations. And it's so wonderful of God here to say, but God is faithful, and that he is faithful to help get us out of those temptations. We're going to come across things that are going to challenge us, but God is faithful, reliable, dependable to help us get out of those scenarios. He will show us that escape route. We just have to follow it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. That was also the Greek word pistos. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, in verse 3, it says, but the Lord is faithful, it's that word again, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. God will establish, he will strengthen us and keep us from evil. God is faithful to protect us from the adversary, to strengthen us when these things come up in our lives and we're challenged. Did I say 2 Thessalonians 3? Okay. He is faithful to be there for us. And he is faithful to strengthen us so that we can endure these situations that happen. In 1 John 1, in verse 9, it says, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is what?
Faithful
and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're going to have tribulation. We're going to have temptations. And sometimes we're not going to make it through that escape route, right? Sometimes we're going to screw up and we're going to get caught. But God promises that he is faithful to do what? To forgive us. To forgive us. And then we move on and we keep believing God and his word. This is God's faithfulness to us. He has set himself up to be somebody that we can rely on, someone who delivers what they promise, someone who is tried and sure. We know God is a spirit. I'm saying someone. We all good? Okay. Someone who is tried and sure, someone who will guide us, someone who helps us deal with the adversary, and someone who forgives us. To understand God's faithfulness, we really just need to open up his word and take a look at the promises that are contained therein. And see the many, many times that God has delivered on those promises. And so now we're going to look at our faithfulness to God, okay, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. It's a very Corinthians evening. I was very Corinthians happy. Okay, so our faithfulness to God, okay? A person that is faithful to God is somebody who believes God's word consistently and is trustworthy. That's it, okay? Someone who believes God's word consistently and somebody who is trustworthy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what?
Faithful.
And that's that word pistos. And like we said, God wants believing from us. That's what he wants. God wants believing. And God wants us to be faithful. He wants us to be trustworthy. How can we be trustworthy to God? We can take care of the word that he has given unto us. That is something that God has given us that we can take care of. His word. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he did not give us a PlayStation. Unless maybe he brought some of you that for Christmas. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And lost here is perishing. It is him to them, hid to them that are lost. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Just put your finger here for a second. I can just flip the page. I don't know what you guys can do. But 2 Corinthians 5:18. It says, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given us the ministry of what?
Reconciliation.
That's what God has given to us. He's given us his word and he has given us the ministry of reconciliation, of bringing people back to God. And that is something that he has given us that we are to be trustworthy with. And in verse 2, it says, have renounced, going back to 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 2, have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Okay? One way that we are faithful to God and trustworthy to God is not handling his word deceitfully. That's intentionally using God's word for our own gain, intentionally taking things out of context for something that would benefit us. It's just mishandling God's word. And one way that we can be faithful to God is to handle his word properly and to take good care of the word that he has given us. If you flip to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we were there before. That was the section of scripture where it talked about temptation and God making a way for us to escape. And it's very interesting that after God talks about that, the very next verse, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14, is, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from what?
Idolatry.
you know, I talked earlier before about how we hear faithfulness in terms of relationships, right, in the world. Well, it's the same way with God in that sense. God doesn't want us cheating on him with other gods, right? God wants us to be with him, to be fixed with him, to be dedicated with him. That's what God wants from us, believing God's word consistently and believing the one true God. And idolatry doesn't just have to be, not believing in Buddha or other religious stuff. It's anything that we put above God and God's word. It can be success, riches, alcohol, like any type of thing that we would place above God can become idolatry. And God says, flee it, run, right? Run away. And that's one way that we can stay faithful to God, is from getting rid of all of that stuff. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, we're not going to go there, but God says, choose you this day who you're going to what?
Serve.
And that verse is just as true back in Joshua in the Old Testament as it is this very minute. Choose you this day who you are going to serve. Are you going to be faithful to God, the one true God? That's what we have to decide. If we're going to serve God, if we're going to walk out on God's word and believe it consistently and handle God's word properly and be trustworthy with it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It can be an uncomfortable thing to talk about, handling God's word deceitfully. It's an uncomfortable thing to talk about, but it happens, and that's why it's in God's word. It happens because there's an adversary, and it happens because, like that verse we looked at, temptations come along, and the adversary tempts people, and he pulls them away, and he gets them to do things, and that's why it's in God's word that we should flee those temptations, to go to God, and to remember not to use it for our own gain or anything like that. It's for the movement of God's word. And it's because of our commitment to God that we take incredible care of his word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 9, it says, we are laborers together with who?
God.
Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. We need to be faithful to God because God says we are laborers together with him. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, what?
To stand.
And that's what we need to do. Every day we have to stand on God's word. And every day that passes, it's a little bit more of God's word that we know, which means our commitment should be that much bigger to God's word. Every day that passes, our commitment should grow, because that's one more day that we've been in the word, and it's a little bit more of God's word that we knew than yesterday. And so our commitment should grow. Our stand should grow. The root that we have should get more established. Colossians chapter 2. In verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Walk in him. Put one foot in front of another and do it. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, the right way of believing, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Walk like you have a root. Walk like you are established in that right way of believing. And then in verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. We walk, we're rooted, we establish ourselves, and we watch out. That's what God wants us to do, to stand on his word every day. In Philippians chapter 1, in verse 27, it says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, and that ye stand fast in what?
One spirit.
With how many minds?
One.
Striving how?
Together.
For the faith of the gospel. You know, I think it would be remiss of me not to mention that in standing for God's word, God designed a family and that we're supposed to stand together, that we're supposed to stand as one, striving together, right? We're laborers together with God. We are laborers together with God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's how we're faithful to God. We trust God. You know, we believe God, God's word consistently, and we handle what he's been giving us in a trustworthy way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's like Michael said, you get to put your favorite stuff in the teachings. Mine is certainly no exception. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 51, it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore," right, and Jerry always taught us to ask, why for the therefore? Why for? "Because of all of this, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Remembering that God is faithful to his word, we have to remember that one of the promises in God's word is that Jesus Christ is coming back for us. That's one of the promises. And just like every other promise that's written in here, someday that's going to come to pass. It is just as true as all the other promises that are in God's word. And we have to have that in the forefront of our minds to be able to make a commitment to God every day. We have to have the hope in front of us. We have to have that motivation to know that Christ is coming back someday. That's what's going to help us stay faithful to God, remembering that his son is coming back and that there's a day coming. In Lamentations chapter 3. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3. In verse 21, it says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Okay, thank you.
About you, but I'm sure getting blessed with the word. That's something, isn't it? Golly, we have some good teachers. Wow, man. Did that buzz you out? That was something. Thank you, Amanda. That was really a great presentation of God's word. Yeah, you get information from the world sometimes, and it's a little goofy. You know, I was sick a couple years ago, and it was pretty doggone bad, I guess. I didn't know about it, because I was out of it. But some people did. And some people, like my wife and Joe Armstrong, they, in my family, they really knew. They had all this information to deal with in their brains. I didn't. I was cruising. I was fine. But a lot of things happened. I was glad I was the one in there and not the one receiving that information. I tell you that. By the time I woke up, I just figured, well, hell, I'm going to be fine. I'll be okay. And before I went in, I told the doctor, get the fucking job done. My doing days ain't done. And so 17 days later, I kind of woke up. And there I was. And for 17 days, a lot of people had a lot of things on their mind that they had to deal with. And thankfully, they dealt with it in a great way. I don't know how things would have turned out if they didn't. And I'll bet you that was a real, real struggle. Because when you're unconscious, you can't believe. I couldn't believe. And if I was conscious, I didn't know I was conscious. There was no way I could believe. I was out of it. I was just plain out of it. And that's why almost every time I'm with a group of people like this, I always thank them for helping save my life. Because really, I know God did, but it didn't hurt that people were praying all over the world. And, maybe I'm selfish because when I hear stuff like that, like what Chris shared last night about, you know, CAT scans, my mind went to all the tests. I was like I don't know what they call that. I was a test rat. And they did so many tests on me. I can't even tell you. I don't even know. I've kind of blocked it out of my mind, kind of. But whenever I hear something like that, I get really thankful. I don't get negative, and I don't think, oh, God, those were crummy days. Because you know what? They were days of victory. They were days. I never once thought I was going to die. I never had that thought. Not once. Not even once remotely. But the information that these guys were challenged with, I'll bet you that was a real struggle for them not to think that that might be a remote possibility. Man. So here I am, because of God's faithfulness and because of people's faithfulness to God by prayer. And you know, the longer you live and stand on God's word, the more you will see God's great strength and power in different incidents. Even today, that incident that Alyssa shared was deeper than she shared it. She possibly saved a person's life, her and Andrew. And that's fantastic. Right place, right time. I was walking home from work one day in California, in Oakland. They had a freeway. They call them freeways. They're big, massive, like turnpike things. And underneath the overpass, there was this person sleeping in a sleeping bag who was out of it. And it was a person I recognized and knew from, he was a professional musician. And he knew me because he used to come watch me play baseball. And I knew him because I used to go watch his band Tower of Power. And he was living underneath a freeway, and he was homeless. And he had a $350 a day heroin habit. That's back in 1972. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of junk, as they say in the business. And he came to fellowship. He came to a class. He left the class. He liked it, but he said, I got to go steal a television. I said, all right, see you later. But of course, he didn't have a phone and he didn't have a house. And, you know, I didn't know what to do. Heck, I did my best. I didn't know what to do. So I kept praying. And about 2 months later, we did another class type of thing. And there's this woman sitting in the front row who was, every night she was drunk. And when I say drunk, I mean drunk, out. Some of you would throw her out. Well, they're not getting into the word. They don't believe the word. Well, I got people go to fellowship every week, go to sleep. So, yeah. And they're not drunk. She didn't disturb anybody. And it ends up that she's this guy's wife who'd been separated for 6 months, got witnessed to on the other side of the San Francisco Bay. Last session, she spoke in tongues like a house of fire, quit drinking. Then I finally found this other guy and said, hey, you know, your wife just took the same class that you started, and she's really blessed, and she's not drinking. He took the next class, never did another hit of heroin, never had a withdrawal symptom. And I'm still, he fell asleep last year, but his wife and I still talk and pray, and I still share God's word with her on the phone. They're fantastic believers. God's faithful to his word. He is faithful, and he's always on time. That translation, you know, Amanda, where are you? Do you still have your notes? Can you read that translation by Reverend Cummins again? You went way too fast on that. That was unbelievable. Just take your time. It was 1 Corinthians 10:13, right?
Yeah. It says, no temptation has taken hold of you except what is common to humans. God, however, is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are capable of enduring. But with the temptation, he will even make the way of escape so that you are capable of enduring.
Thank you.